Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. As we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I spent some time in prayer praying for those who might not have accepted Jesus before and to receive Him, giving an invitation to receive Him as Savior, and also for those who were backslid, because I believe the Spirit of God is moving in a very scrutinizing way, if you will, even as He did. Remember when John was in the book of Revelation, he spoke, he gave him a vision of the unveiled Christ. Christ in all of His glory as He stood in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He spoke, He said, John, I want you to give my message to the seven churches that were in existence. And scholars over the years have said, well, that represents church ages, and we're in the church of Laodicea, overriched and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Well, I believe we can learn lessons from what Jesus said to all of the churches. However, there is a place of understanding that Jesus paid it all for us, and what He's asking of us, what is the first and greatest commandment? That you would love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, your mind, your might, and that you would love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus put an addendum to that, even as I have loved you, He told His disciples at the Last Supper. And so I believe the Holy Spirit is searching our lives, and there may be areas that, even though you're a good Christian, you attend church, you're faithful and giving, and you are trying to do the very best you can, there's areas of our lives that we haven't really yielded to God. And I believe the Holy Spirit, you know, only the Holy Spirit can address those personal issues that He's dealing with. And that's why we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I just feel I want to stay a little bit more on the joy of our salvation. If we're not walking in surrender and obedience to the Lord, we can't be fully joyful because we're holding back. We're there's some areas we just don't want to quite release. I'm thinking of one brother, he's been a partner for years. He has a particular sin that he struggles with, but he keeps going back in a situation where he's likely to fall. You know, we've got to use common sense. We have to use discipline. We can't put ourselves in a situation that is going to compromise us. But, beloved, the ability to stay strong in the Lord, to be delivered from addictions, from bad habits, require a faith that God is going to do it. I know in terms of my own life, even before I came to the Lord, I understood about fasting, and I was doing it just for health reasons. But I do know that I am totally unsuccessful in the natural trying to fast. I've never been on a diet with any success, but the Lord does anoint me when I fast because it's a ministry God has given, and I claim His strength, and it's amazing how He has strengthened me to be able to fast. And I know it's Him because I don't have it in myself. I don't have that amount of willpower or discipline. And so I want to read a passage of Scripture because some of you, God's dealing with you, and you know it. You haven't stop serving the Lord, you love God, but there's areas in your life God is dealing with. And I'm here on this broadcast to tell you, you can't do it with your determination, with New Year's resolutions, whatever you're going to do. I'm going to start afresh. Well, that's a good thing looking ahead, but it's God that's going to, His power in you, and that's what you have to rely on. It's not your strength. It's not within you. Listen to what David said, and this is from Psalm 51. Actually, this was not immediate, his repentance. He had erred in a very bad way. He was the leader, the king of Israel. God had answered many prayers, and he lusted after a woman who was the wife of one of his bravest soldiers, and he caused Uriah to be killed, and he didn't repent. And finally, it took Nathan the prophet coming to him, and this is the prayer he prayed. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." He's asking God to blot out my transgressions. And we can pray this prayer. Things and besetting sins in our life, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What does it take? We, like David, who was a man after God's own heart, he prayed in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." He had to be miserable in all that time. He knew he'd done wrong. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned. I've done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's the, you know, without the Lord, we are all, I mean, it's called, what, theologically, original sin. Every human being is born spiritually dead because of our parents, Adam and Eve. They transgressed, and until we are willing, you see, the Holy Spirit would come upon people in the Old Testament, but to be born again, it took the death, suffering, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's when he went down to speak to the spirits in prison. They were in the paradise of God, and God led captivity captive. He took them to heaven because of he had completed the work. He was their Savior. He was the joy of their salvation. And in verse 8, he says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities." This beautiful prayer. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." I think we could pray that every day because we need God's cleansing. None of us are going to be sinless without any spot or stain of sin until Jesus comes. We try, we strive after it, but not until we are in the presence of God will be complete. We have, our spirit is righteous, but our, you know, our emotions, our flesh, we are not perfected yet. "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Then he says, "I want to teach transgressors the way. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation." He's speaking now of what he did to have Uriah killed, basically. "O Lord, open thou my lips, and all my, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Listen to this. "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it." And then, of course, that was under the old covenant. That's what they did. But he spoke of the New Testament believer. He was that he took the Ark of God even before he brought it before he put it in the tent at the tent of David, the tabernacle of David, something that was outrageous, really. The sacrifices continued among Gibeon, but he was a foreshadowing of the New Testament believer. He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the wall of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." This, of course, is under the old covenant. But he's saying, and we can say that, "Lord, do good in your good pleasure unto your church. Build the walls of Jerusalem." And Father, we're asking right now, Lord, we ask you to send the searchlight of your Holy Spirit over our lives. Lord, we want a perfect heart. We want to have the sacrifices of God that are acceptable to you under the new covenant, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. We ask, Lord, that you would do good in your good pleasure to Zion, to your natural people, Israel, in Jerusalem, but Lord, to all the Gentile believers who you've brought, and to make as one new man the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile alike, bond and free, male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Lord, do your work. And Father, those who are bound by habits, by addictions, Lord, they love you. I mean, there's some listening, you've been bound by a spirit of nicotine. You just can't break the smoking habit. Father, in Jesus' name, I curse the physical addiction to nicotine. And Lord, I thank you for deliverance. Lord, you're able to take it away. Those who have been on strong addictive drugs, Lord, I've heard how you've marvelously delivered them and they've never gone back. So thank you, Lord. Thank you now for your anointing to break every yoke of bondage, every type of addiction. Father, things from the old nature, things from the old life. Someone has a problem with using curse words, and it's something that grieves your spirit, and you're just asking God for deliverance. Father, I thank you for delivering, and Lord, our mouths should show forth your praise. We're not to let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. Father, I stand on that scripture, and by the power of the word of God, brother, you're delivered in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the, and I also rebuke the spirit of anger, annoyance, impatience that arises to precede that. And Father, I thank you for perfect peace, Lord, that we can confront negative situations and we will be able to react as Jesus would react, not with impatience or anger at inconvenience or whatever the issue might be. But Lord, you're just going to deliver your people, and Lord, they will know it is the very presence of God, the desire of God. Lord, you desire that. You want us to be yielded to you. You want us to be surrendered to you. We confess we can't do the work. David, that wonderful king of Israel, he fell in the lust of his flesh. And so, Father, we confess, we ask for that clean heart and a right, renewing a right spirit within us, Lord, that we will really be those trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Again, referencing that beautiful passage in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Beloved, I love you and I pray for you every day, my UCM partners, my radio family, and there's just a bond in the spirit. God has placed a love in my heart, and he knows. And some of the UCM partners, they're those that write, I mean, there is a love that cannot be explained by any natural means. It's by the Spirit of God. And so I just praise God for the good things God wants to do in our lives, the wonderful blessings that are ahead, things that we haven't even expected. So get ready for them. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Yeah.